Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. Roads are essential to our everyday lives. We all use them in some way by driving, riding, walking, or traveling as a passenger, and we depend on them to obtain goods and services. Unfortunately, this comes at a price, which includes people being killed and injured. Experts say road traffic death and injuries are a major public health and development issue. The good news is they can be avoided. Effective and comprehensive road safety strategies can reduce the number of people killed or injured on the road. We will discuss road safety on the program today. Joining us via phone from New York City is Karen Schmidt, Senior Communication Advisor for Policy, Advocacy and Communication for Viral Strategies, an organization dedicated to strengthening health systems for progress in lung health, non-communicable diseases, and more. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Also joining us via phone from Johannesburg, South Africa, is Simon Zwane, spokesperson of the Road Traffic Management Corporation, an organization based in South Africa and dedicated to ensure safe, secure, and responsible use of roads in South Africa. Welcome to the show, Mr. Zwane.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Fantastic. And we will discuss road safety in a moment. But first, the United Nations recently released a report spotlighting the relationship between speeding and traffic. VOA's reporter Lisa Schlein has this.
The UN Economic Commission for Europe reports road crashes are the number one cause of death among people aged 15 to 29. The ECE, which regulates and sets road and vehicle safety standards, says another 20 to 50 million people worldwide are injured in these accidents. It says 90% of the 1.25 million road deaths worldwide occur in low- and middle-income countries, although they account for only 54% of the world's vehicles. It notes Africa has the highest fatality rate, representing 43% of road traffic victims. UNECE Executive Secretary Christian Fries Bach says these deaths and injuries result in tremendous loss for grieving families and severe economic costs for society. He says societies have to pay the health costs of people who are badly injured and can no longer work and be productive. He says ways to avoid road crashes are known, and the auto industry knows how to produce safe cars, which are universally sold in Europe, North America, and other developed countries.
But when they sell the same car in Africa and Latin America, they take out the safety features. They take out the airbags, they weaken the frame, they produce cheap cars that look exactly like the cars we see on the roads in Europe, but when people crash, they get killed.
Bach says manufacturers can implement key safety measures in their vehicles without significant cost. He says a package of measures that can save lives, including airbags, autonomous braking systems, and seatbelts, would cost less than $200 per car. ECE Chief Bach notes too many pedestrians in Africa lose their lives because roads do not have simple safety measures such as proper crossing points. He notes the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and other development institutions and agencies that pay the cost of infrastructure in Africa should insist road safety measures be implemented. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And thank you again to the both of you for joining us. Let me start with you, Karen Schmidt, and have your reaction to the WHO's latest report in the global status of road safety. What is your reaction?
Our reaction is that it's a call to action, really, for the world. It reminds us of the terrible toll that road crashes take on society and on people, and the urgent need for action. But as has been mentioned, the good news is that we know that most road traffic crashes can be prevented. And the WHO report lays out specific, proven interventions that can make a huge difference if we work with governments to implement them.
And Simon, one of the point in the report is about the fact that when it comes to Africa, there are not enough road safety measures such as crossing points. What is your reaction?
Yes, it is true, because when you find that most of our roads don't even have the sidewalks to separate vehicles from pedestrians, and this causes crashes and fatalities. And we also have a high number of public transport vehicles that don't even have safety belts, and that also exposes people to the risk of dying when there are crashes.
That's really troubling, because when we think about it, to know that most of these fatalities occur in low and middle income countries, it's really terrible. Because, and Karen, let me ask you this: in your work with Viral Strategies, have you noticed that one of the reasons is about lack of resources? That is, perhaps keeping this issue really on top of the agenda. Is it the lack of resources, or is there other reasons in low and middle income countries?
Lack of resources is certainly part of it, but I think a bigger issue is simply the political will to implement the strategies that we already know work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Simon, what is it, political will? With your experience in South Africa, what is the government doing?
Well, in South Africa, there is political will to deal with road carnage. But what we see is the attitude of the road users not changing accordingly. They are not espousing the road safety messages that are being put forward by the political leadership. Mm-hmm. And yes, the resources are also an issue in terms of making sure that our roads, all the roads comply. Because if we could have sidewalks and all the roads and have proper safe places for people to cross the roads, and they also plate their road by making sure that whenever they walk on the roads at night, they dress up in bright colors so that they can be noticed, it would assist. But another phenomenon that we are noticing is off settlements that are built closer to busy roads, particularly settlements for the poor sections of the communities. These would be your shack settlements that are sprouting out closer to busy roads, and that becomes a major risk factor for people who live in those areas.
And Karen, Simon talked about some of the risk factors that they are really experiencing, they have in South Africa. What are some of the main impediments to road safety in developed countries, in the developed regions, as opposed to underdeveloped regions? And to what extent do they differ, really?
Well, I think that in places where road safety has been improved a lot, the government takes a holistic public health approach, and that means recognizing that road traffic crashes have multiple causes, and solving them requires coordination among different parts of government. So it isn't just driver behavior or pedestrian behavior. It's also road design. It's also laws and enforcement. It's crash care. It's looking at all of these things together.
Mm-hmm. So then it's really a combined approach and
exactly.
Multiple sectors that are part of the solution.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And Simon, when we look at the multiple sectors in your approach in South Africa, what are some of the sectors that you are working with? Because when we talk about safety, you know, there is the police that is involved, there is the transportation, there are so many different levels. So what is happening in South Africa?
Yeah, in South Africa we also take the same approach, the safe systems approach, where we look at enforcement, we look at education, we look at the engineering factors, and we also coordinate the efforts of all other players including communities, to ensure that we can all work on the same team sheet to be able to bring under control the state of accidents that we see.
Okay. Now, one of the information in the report that I found really surprising is the fact that road traffic injuries is the number one killer among adolescents. So, Karen, let me have your take on this issue, because it seems like it's not something many people realize, that adolescents are being killed on the road so many times. To what do we attribute this? Alcohol is a factor, but is it lack of experience as well? Is it irresponsibility? Is it the parents' responsibility? What is the main cause of this?
I think it's all of those things. We know that young and inexperienced drivers are at greater risk of crashes, especially if alcohol is involved. That's why WHO recommends lower blood alcohol limits for young or inexperienced drivers. Other factors are risk-taking and sensation-seeking that we know young people and adolescents are more likely to engage in, risky behavior and peer pressure. And the thing is that this holistic approach to road safety can really help mitigate these risks. If speeds are lower, if blood alcohol levels are lower for young people, if roads are designed better, that even when the drivers maybe don't show the best judgment, they may be less likely to die or be seriously injured.
Okay. And Simon, in South Africa, do you see this among the youth, that many young people are getting killed on the road?
Yes, we do see that. It's the same age group that is mostly affected. In our case, it will be because also, in addition to the risk behavior of young people and the alcohol abuse, but we find that our young people are having to drive long distances between home and places of work. That is because of the spatial planning that we have, where the haves stay close to places of work, and those the have-nots stay further away. So, which means that they spend a lot of time on the roads traveling to and from places of work, and that makes them susceptible to accidents and injuries on the roads.
So what is the approach with the youth in terms of raising awareness, Simon?
Well, our approach is to try to take road safety education into schools. Idea being that before they complete grade 12 or they come out of school, they would have had road safety education, which assists them also in obtaining their driver's licenses. And a phenomenon that we have seen is that many of them were trying to get licenses for heavy vehicles to avoid all the tests that go with getting a license for a light motor vehicle, for instance. So we're seeking to change that, to introduce a graduated system where everybody must first obtain a driver's license for a light motor vehicle, and then you can graduate towards heavier motor vehicles so that you are able to handle those vehicles when you're required to.
Okay. And
before you complete your matric, you must have had an opportunity to get road safety education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Road safety education, very important, Karen. And education is definitely one of the keys, right? Whether it's with the youth of more mature drivers. So when we look at some of the solutions for the youth, I know Simon talks extensively about South Africa, but from your perspective in general, even in developed countries, what could be some of the solutions? Karen?
One of the solutions Simon just mentioned is stricter licensing rules. In some places, there's different licensing rules for younger drivers. That's one thing. In terms of changing driver behavior, it's very important to do campaigns in mass media and strategic communication that really starts to change the attitudes and the norms around, for example, drinking and driving or speeding. That's really what makes the difference for all drivers, not just young people.
Okay. All right, Karen and Simon, we're going to take a short break and come back and continue the discussion. So thank you for sticking around. And it's now time for the news with Kira Spiro.
Thank you, Lenore. The World Health Organization's Regional Chief for Africa reports that prospects for rapidly controlling the spread of the deadly Ebola virus in the Democratic Republic of Congo are good. While not underestimating the difficulties that lie ahead in bringing the latest outbreak of Ebola to an end, Matshidiso Moeti told VOA she is very encouraged by the speed with which the government and its national and international partners have responded to this crisis. The WHO has reported 29 suspected cases, including 3 deaths since Ebola was discovered in the remote region of the DRC on April 22nd. This is the 8th recorded outbreak of Ebola in the DRC since 1976. The American Academy of Pediatrics revised its recommendation on fruit juice consumption for children in light of concerns about raising childhood obesity and tooth decay. Children younger than 1 should drink breast milk or formula and should only drink fruit juice if advised by a doctor. Between the ages of 1 and 4, young children should consume no more than 118 milliliters of fruit juice, the doctor's group says. The new guidelines recognize that 100% natural and reconstituted juice can be a healthy part of a child's diet. However, the group said juice should count for no more of the 1 to 2.5 recommended servings of fruit per day. Minutes matter when it comes to treating sepsis, the body's out-of-control reaction to an infection. Sepsis occurs when the body goes into overdrive while fighting an infection, injuring its own tissue. The cascade of inflammation and other damage can lead to shock, amputations, organ failure, or death. Doctors have long known that rapidly treating sepsis is important, but there's been debate over how fast. New York mandated in 2013 that hospitals follow protocols or checklists of certain steps within 3 hours, including performing a blood test for infection, checking blood levels of a sepsis marker called lactate, and beginning antibiotics. Sepsis is most common among people 65 and older, babies, and people with chronic health problems. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing road safety. And our guest, Simon Zwane, is a spokesperson of the Road Traffic Management Corporation, RTMC, in South Africa. And Karen Schmidt, she's Senior Communication Advisor for Policy, Advocacy and Communication for Viral Strategies. So, Karen, now, for countries like the UK and Netherlands that are seeing success in road safety, what are they doing right? What can we learn from them?
I think the recipe for success is the same everywhere. It's better planning that addresses the needs of all road users. It's vehicle safety. As was mentioned earlier, the state safety standards in developed countries are much higher than in less developed countries. Reducing drivers' risk behavior, enforcement, better post-crash care, all of these things work together to help save lives on the roads.
And what is Vital Strategies doing to address this issue?
We're working with the Bloomberg Philanthropies Initiative for Global Road Safety, and it's working in 10 cities around the world in low- and middle-income countries, including Accra in Ghana and Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And what we do is this project connects the global experts, top experts in road safety from around the world with city governments to initiate projects that we know how will give results. So we're trying to encourage the city governments and the mayors to involve all of the different sectors in their government. So that's traffic, police, health services, to all work together on this problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Simon, in South Africa, you talked about some of what the RTMC is doing. Can you tell us a little more in terms of how you are working with civil society and engaging them to resolve this issue? What role can civil society play?
Yeah, we have working very closely with civil society, with organized formations of different players, like the bus operators, who work with them, would work with the taxi industry. But in communities, we're also beginning to establish road safety community forums, where the communities are also able to identify issues that affect road safety in their communities, mm-hmm. establishing youth formations to engage young people in finding solutions also to issues of road safety themselves, and they come up with those solutions, and government assist them in implementing some of the interventions that they identify.
A lot of time people are a bit skeptical about how governments are addressing an issue. How do you build confidence with the population and so that the messages that you are sharing, they really resonate to them?
Well, people want to see that the proposals that they're putting forward and the interventions that they are requesting are being followed and are being implemented. Mm-hmm. That is the only way of building confidence, because they would realize that these are not simply talk shops, but they do lead into tangible outcomes.
Okay.
That's the only way of building confidence, because if you engage them in endless talks and there are no tangible outcomes, they lose confidence. But if they see outcomes from the engagements and from the proposals that they've made, they begin to have more confidence and buy into the process.
Okay. And Karen, tell us about perhaps one success story in your work in implementing road safety in Africa.
Well, in Addis Ababa, we've been working on, most recently, we did a mass media campaign on drinking and driving. It was a very intense, hard-hitting kind of PSAs that ran on television and radio. At the same time, police were out in the streets enforcing the drinking and driving rules. And we found that those two things together really seem to be making a difference. We don't have the data yet, but what we're hearing is that people are really talking about drinking and driving. They're thinking about whether or not they should drink and drive, and it looks like we're starting to change the social norms there.
Mm, that's great. And Simon, what type of impact have you seen? Have you? How do you quantify the impact that is happening on the ground? What can you tell us in terms of success stories?
Well, we have implemented also mass media campaigns, and we have also had in the last year a drama series on the national television, which engages the communities on the discussion on road safety. That drama series has just ended we need to go back and do an impact analysis. We haven't seen it yet, but from the other mass media campaigns that we've heard, the more localized ones, we've seen some impact that people are beginning to modify their behavior following those kinds of interventions.
Okay. And a final message, Simon, before we let you go?
Well, our final message is really that road safety is a collaborative effort. All stakeholders have a role, and everybody has got a responsibility to make sure that the roads are safe and that they themselves conduct in a safe manner whenever on the roads.
Okay, and Karen, any final thoughts? Hello, Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Road injury is a growing global killer, but we know that we can make rapid progress and we can save lives if governments have the political will to do so.
Okay, and Karen Schmidt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Simon Zwane, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, and we continue to look at the issue of road safety. Now, VOA's reporter Hilary Hillers has the story on road safety in Uganda. And that's your show for today. Until next time, we appreciate you tuning in today. Until next time, you take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.